please, to the book of Philippians, one of my favorite books, I guess, in the New Testament. I have a lot of them, about how many are there in there? But I like Philippians because of the message of Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and what he was having them to understand about living a life of faith and trusting Jesus. And he used the term rejoice and joy some 17 times in the book of Philippians because he wanted them to be infectious Christian believers, because if their life depicted and showed and related the joy that Jesus can give, other people will catch that. And folks, the church today needs to take a dose of that kind of medicine, do we not? But as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'll pull my text out of the second chapter, starting in verse 5, because of what the message is and the title and what I thought about this week, or well, more than this week, last week I was thinking, week before too, because so many times as we think about a name, what is in a name? What is in a name? Is there real meaning in a name? Is there real significance in a name? And as we think about a name, we know that there are many names that are given to individuals in Scripture, and in the Scripture they have a specific meaning. But should there be, and is there a significance about a name? I think there should be. You're not a name anymore. You're a number. At your bank, they will not do business with you unless you have an account number. The Social Security Administration do not recognize you by your name. They recognize you by your number. You talk about somebody on the telephone, when you go to call them, you got to call them by their number, you'll get the wrong person. So we're engaged in numbers. But let me tell you something. There's a significance about the name. That's why it's important for us, for you and for me, to understand the name that is above every name. So would you stand before the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer? In Philippians, the second chapter, starting in verse 5. And this board went along with Brother IB's message this morning, would it not? Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form or the likeness of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. Read the next verse with me, please. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Father, once again we bow in your presence. We come thanking you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, just to be able to come to your throne of grace. And the only way that we can come is through the accomplishment that Jesus Christ made for us as he gave his life for us and made possible for us to come to your throne. You said for us to come boldly because of what he made possible for us and what he's accomplished for us. And Lord, we come tonight boldly before your throne in the name of Jesus. And we come, Lord, asking that you once again would open the ears of our heart and our mind that we may understand your word, that we may hear you speak, not so much as what Marshall Dixon has to say, but let us be attentive to the Holy Spirit of God, that we may hear you as you speak to our hearts tonight. I pray, Father, that the word that we're looking at would be more than just the written words and letters on the pages, but it would become the very living aspect of the Word. And we would incorporate that within our lives and within our very being, Lord, that as we leave this place, we can know and understand that we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I come once again, Lord, asking you to please take these feeble lips of clay and anoint them, God, with the power and presence of your Spirit and speak through them the truth of your Word. I pray, Lord, for everything that's said and done would bring honor and glory to you. I pray, Lord, tonight also as we're reminded of those that are less fortunate, those that are going through the very trials of life, that are having all kinds of problems and meeting the devil head on. I pray, God, that you would give them strength and you would give them courage to stand up and to look to you for guidance and for direction and for the need within their very lives tonight. Lord, you know each one that's on our prayer list and those that were mentioned tonight in the prayer rooms. And Lord, there are those of us here tonight that have unspoken prayers on our hearts that's been there for a while. And God, I pray tonight that you will just work in the circumstances of each of those. And you will do that which only you can through your precious and holy and saving name. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to worship you. And may our hearts be in tune with you so that we can worship you in freedom and in truth and in spirit as your word tells us that we should. So God, tonight, do that which only you can. And even now, as an act of faith on our part, we're going to thank you and to praise you for that which you're going to work. In Jesus' strong name we pray and ask, amen. The name that is above every name. If we look very close at that verse and we see what it says there in verse 10, at that name every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And of course we know Paul is speaking that from a standpoint that at the one day, a coming day in the future in history. So Paul recognized the significance of the power of the name of Jesus Christ. He recognized in the day that he live, just like it is the day in which we live, there are people that do not honor the name of Jesus. They, matter of fact, they make light of it, they make fun of it, they do everything they can to dehumanize or de-divine it, and they do everything to try to destroy it. But I got news for you folks, that is a name that is given to Jesus, that is a name that means Savior, it also means Lord. No wonder over 2,000 years ago, when that angel came and appeared, and even the prediction of that said his name will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the name of Jesus is one of the most important names in all the world. I don't care what the Muslims say. I do not care what the Mormons say, but there's a name that is above every name. The song says, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, because you see, kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Say it with me. But there's something about that name, the name of Jesus, the blessed name of Jesus. Tonight, as we look at this, what was Paul trying to encourage those Philippians about that name? First of all, we need to understand that Jesus obtained that name, the name above every name, because of his encounter with humanity. When the prophecy of his coming, the prophesy was that he would come into this world, he would encounter humanity, and because of that encounter, things would transpire, things would take place that would change the whole whole scope and the whole face of humanity because Jesus came. Humanity and its sin did not pull him down, but what Jesus did is he picked humanity up and brought them to a new level, a level that they could stand before Almighty God with an understanding of whose they were and what God was and who God was to them. He embraced humanity with God's love, and he lifted them up out of the problems and the circumstances of everyday life, and he carried them as a mother carries a child, a little babe, and he carries them through life so that they can know and understand the very love of God. That's why Jesus came, to demonstrate the love of God. If you go to the book of John, the first chapter, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And if you look at the terminology there, the term Word means logos, the very expression of all that God is. And what John is relating there is he came as the living Word, not just the written Word or the spoken Word, but he came the reality of the very expression of what God had to say to fallen humanity in love. And that's what Jesus did. He embraced humanity with God's love, and he made the world, and he made them to know and to understand the very love of God. Thank God for that. Amen. So we see he obtained a name, that name above every name, because of his encounter with humanity. But also he obtained a name above every name because of his sacrifice for humanity. Paul brings that out in this passage. That's what he says there. He took away, he made possible the removal of our sin debt. He paid the penalty, if you please, of our sin debt. Turn to John's gospel just a moment. Turn to the book of John, the first chapter. John has a lot to say about the Word and the meaning of the Word and the truth of the Word. In the first chapter of John, gospel, look what it says. Look there at verse 32. What happened here? John bear record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Why? Because of who he was. He says in verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And then in verse 30 it says, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He did not come to cover sin. They had the Levitical system and all the sacrifices, and it was for a covering of sin. But Jesus came not to cover sin any longer, but he came to take it away, as Paul expressed, nailing it to the cross. And there he nailed your sin and my sin to the cross. Paul brings that out in this little book of Philippians. So he obtained that name above every name because of his sacrifice for humanity. He fulfilled every aspect of the sacrificial system. You study the sacrificial system, you go back and look through it, all those instruments, all those things. And you know what? I'm glad we don't have to go through all that rigmarole today. All those sacrifices. You just think of all the blood that was shed, all the things that happened there as a sacrifice for sin. But thank God we have one sacrifice, and that is the person Jesus Christ, and he is the sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. Yes, he fulfilled the sacrificial system. Why? Because he was not only the Passover lamb, but he was the Paschal lamb, the one that closed it all up and brought it into fruition because of him being the very Son of God. So he brought it all into being. He brought it all to pass. That's why he said that on this hangs all the law and the prophets, and that is that we're to love and to demonstrate the very love of God that he places in our hearts as we respond to him, as we surrender, if you please, our lives to him. That's what Paul is relating here. He removed also the drudgery and the duty and the ritual of the sacrificial system. No longer did he have to do those things. No longer, because, see, he fulfilled, the scripture says, he fulfilled. And that term there means not only did he fill it to its fullest, but he overflowed that to this fullest extent. He overflowed the sacrificial system because he paid the ultimate price with his life. But there's more to it. The third thing is, Jesus obtained that name that is above every name because of his triumph triumphed over humanity. Turn to John just a minute back there. John 16, I believe it is. The Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 33. Look at that with me. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." But then he says, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Jesus made possible for you and I to be overcomers. He made possible that we could understand, as Paul says in Romans, that we can understand and know and have the peace of God. And we can have peace with God because we respond to Jesus Christ in our life. And let me tell you, peace is not a word that has a definition, but peace, the Bible, peace that the Bible talks about, is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you do not have Him, you will never have peace. I don't care who you are. But when we have Him and respond to Him, it makes no difference about the problems we have today. We face a lot of things. There's a lot of things going on in this world. But let me tell you something. When you have Jesus Christ, you can rest assured that He will give you exactly what you need in order that you might have peace. The term peace is not free from problems, but it gives us a security and an expression that we can trust Him in every aspect of life, come what may. The peace of God. Peace of God. Triumph over the limits of humanity. To make you and I free. That's what he said there in John 6. Turn to John 16 back here again just a moment. In John 16, look what it says. He said this. He said, "He come so that we could know the truth," he says, "and the truth shall set you free." Let me tell you something, folks. If there's something that's needed in our world today, it is the personification of truth in the life of believers. Jesus is that truth, and if we have Him in our life, we should project and portray that truth to a world that stands in need of truth. I know the world says there is no absolute, but let me tell you something. There's an absolute, and that absolute is Jesus Christ is the truth about everything you need to know about God and who He is. Just think of it for a minute. Listen, see, what Jesus did is He died a death that He did not deserve, to give me and you a life that we do not deserve. That's what He did. He did not deserve to die. He's the only one that really knew how to live. The only one who knew how to express life with God and stand in that unique relationship with God and to live life to its fullest extent. And Jesus willingly sacrificed and gave that life, a death that He did not deserve to die, in order to give you and I a life that we do not deserve. That's what He did. That's why His name's above every name. Jesus also, fourth thing, Jesus also obtained a name above every name because He guides the destiny of humanity. Turn to Colossians, one page over in my Bible from where I was in Philippians. In Colossians, starting in verse 10, it says this, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." We could read on there. Look at 17, verse 16. He says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Did you catch that? Look back at it. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence or supremacy, that he might be Lord. He might be Lord. And let me tell you something. I believe with every fiber of my being that today we as a church need to recognize the very lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives so a world can see what Jesus can do if we'll surrender to him. He is a guide. He guides the destiny of humanity. He who seeks the eternal consequence, the one who paid the price for the eternal consequences of sin. He did not deserve to die, but he gave his life for us. So we need to see, we need to respond to Jesus, his death and his victory on the cross. I love, we sung that song this morning, Victory in Jesus. Boy, I thank God that we can have victory in Jesus because he made possible for us to live above the circumstances that this world pulls us down into. And if we're not careful, if we take our eyes off him, it will suck us in and we can never, never understand what's going on in the spiritual realm. But if we trust him and look to him every day, he will help us along life's way. Yes, we can have victory in Jesus, but there's a fifth thing as we close. Jesus obtained, as Paul says here, this name above every name because of his appeal to humanity. Turn to Matthew just a moment, the fourth chapter. This is Jesus' message to a lost and dying world. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Matthew, the fourth chapter. You probably know the passage by heart. He says there in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, and Jesus said unto them, as it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, but that's not the passage. Verse 17, look what he says there. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, where did he get that message from? If you look back in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, talking about John the Baptist, it says, and saying, John came saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' message was a message of repentance. Jesus' appeal to those of his day was a message of repentance. The same message that we as a church have today must be and has to be a message of repentance. It's not trying to straighten up your lives like some of these psychologists on television that stand behind the pulpit and try to tell you if you act better, feel better, smell better, get to looking better, says everything will be better. You'll make it to heaven. Well, I got news for you, folks. That will not work according to Scripture. There must be genuine repentance. A person must turn from their self and turn to the Savior. That is a complete turnabout, and that's what repentance means, and that was Jesus' message. So his appeal to humanity was for them to repent, an appeal for a higher life here in this life. That's what Jesus' appeal was. That's what the term repent means. Turn from your own selfish, sinful way and turn to God's way and trust God. And let me tell you something. That'll be a much higher way as we walk through life here. But I got news for you. He also appeals also for a glorious life in the hereafter. Hallelujah. We can thank God for that. As Paul tried to make those at Philippi to know and to understand that their lives were being read by those they came in contact with. And they need to be the very expression, if you please, of the life of Jesus Christ. And they were to share his love and share his joy. You know what? Out there, some people, if you smile at them, they look at you like you're crazy, like something's wrong in your life. Have you ever met people like that? I mean, folks, we need to wake up because I believe that a child of God, a believer, a Christian, however you want to call or classify it, I believe that there ought to be a joy that budding up and blooming in our life that is ever more showing itself and expressing itself as we live each and every day of life. That's what Jesus said, that your joy may be full. In other words, that it will be a continual thing rising up within our life. That's what he said to the woman at the well, was it not? He says, you come and you drink this water, but you come back and get some more. But he says, the water that I'll give you shall be a well of water welling up with you and bubbling over, running over. It'll be a well in eternal life. Folks, that's what Jesus wants to do. So the question for one and all, has there ever been a time when you personally invited Jesus Christ to come and to live in your heart? That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. That is the message. Because you see, it's one thing to know about Him and to know His name. You can study His character, but to not to just know about Him in your head, you have to know Him in your heart. There must be that conversion from our head to our heart. One day on June the 19th, 1966, I quit trying to figure Him out in my head, and I invited Him to come in my heart. And let me tell you something. He done something in my life that changed my whole life. My feet did not hit the ground for several weeks, and I just felt like I was floating in on air because He took the burden and the guilt of sin from me. And there is no name like the name of Jesus. A name that's above every name. See, you can know a lot about Him and not really know Him. Matthew 7, Jesus says something about that. Verse 21 of chapter 7, He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in your name? Have we not even cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful, mighty things in your name? Many wonderful works?" And He says, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It's not that Jesus did not know them by their name. He knew their address. He knows all about you. But if you have not responded to Him, if you have not invited Him into the confines of your life, He does not know you from the standpoint He's talking about here, and that is that experiential knowledge. You can know all there is to know about Him. We went to school with a man that he studied years and years to know all he could know about Jesus so he could refute and so he could argue with people. But one day, he had an accident. His car ran off in the canal, and he almost drowned. He woke up in the hospital the next day, and he come to recognize that if he had died, and he'd gone to hell. So he recognized that he must respond to the one he had took all these things about and tried to discourage others about who he was. Let me tell you something. Jesus can change things in your life. He will change things in your life. We had a man in our church at Graceville when we were in school at Graceville. He was a man that served as a missionary on the Foreign Mission Board. And he served several years, and he got on furlough, and on the time of furlough, he come back home. His wife had to have some surgery, so he served as minister of music there at the church at Damascus in Graceville. He was a man, I've never seen anybody. He could anything he walked by, he could play. I don't care what it was, one of them things, a string back too. He even played one of those harps. He could even play a kazoo where you can understand what's going on. And he told about an incident in one of the villages where he was overseer, where he ministered, their team ministered. He said one day they sent for him, and he came, and they had this little girl set up in one of these tents, and says as he cracked the door, he looked over in the corner, said she was all squatted down and scrunched down, and her eyes looked like the devil himself. And he said he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do, but he just began to say, "Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, that sweet name, Jesus." As he bowed his head and continued to say that directly, he said he felt her grab him around the legs and just hug up to him, because he and she knew that there was a transformation that could take place in the person that responded to Jesus Christ in their heart and life. Do you know him tonight? Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful to you for your word, how you speak to us from and out of your word. And Lord, tonight, I pray that you'll help us to recognize the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And because of that name, Jesus, because He was the Christ, the anointed one. And we pattern our lives and say we are Christians, our little Christ. Help us, O God, to project to a lost and dying world the message of the book and the message of the man, Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, tonight, if there's one here that has never trusted You, has never come to understand and to realize, Lord, that You desire to be Lord and Savior of their lives, help them to do that before it's everlasting too late. I pray, Father, that You just work and do that which only You can. And even now, as an act of faith on our part, we're going to thank You and to praise You, for we ask it in that name above every name, Jesus Christ our Lord, for His glory. Amen. Hymn of invitation.
Have I got one? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good.